Well, welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church. And I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, Senior Citizens Pastor and the Counseling Pastor there at Brookside. And it's been our joy to be able to just talk to folks about who God is in their life. And this last time was certainly no exception. It was just a real joy to be able to begin interviewing a gentleman by the name of George Kirsten. And George came to us with just a fantastic testimony, and we began to share it. And obviously, as you left us last time, you heard him talking about being a helicopter pilot during the Vietnam War, but watching a lot of folks not make it and just realizing that vanity of vanities, all is vanity. But God was basically plowing his field. And you know, the Lord does that. He gets our attention and allows things to take place to help us to understand, I can't make it on my own. That's exactly what God was doing in your life, George. And then the Lord gave you some R&R in the Philippines. And so somebody invited you to what you thought was just a seminar. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this particular weekend, we had like 6 days R&R, and my friends went up to Baguio to pretty much drink and carouse. And I was going to go with them, but I was fed up. I was just tired. I was exhausted. I was spent. I was depressed. I was just overwhelmed with death,
sure.
And I wasn't finding the alcohol dealing with it or helping me at all, and I was looking for something different. Now, I just want to paint a little backdrop as to how much of a skeptic I am. I had mentioned in the last broadcast that I was a graduate of Madison, Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
born and raised here in Milwaukee, and I have a deep love for Wisconsin, so this is my home state, and graduated, but Madison is a not a bastion of Christianity, as I said earlier. And so my first encounter when I was going through the flight program was with a Marine. A Marine asked me the question, are you a Christian? He said. He asked me, and I said, well, I used to go to church. And he said, oh, no, I'm not talking about church. You know,
mm-hmm.
just because you put an orange in a garage doesn't make it a car. You know, just because you sit in the pew of a church doesn't make you a Christian.
Exactly.
Oh, I said, you know, I used to go to church. He said, oh, no, this was the first time that I'd heard this term, Greg. He said, no, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? I had no idea what he's talking about. None at all. I'd never heard the terminology.
Sure.
So I became defensive, and I said, oh, you don't believe in the Bible, do you? And I mean, after all, it's full of contradictions.
Mm-hmm.
So he just calmly simply said, well, could you show me one? And then I responded by saying, well, I haven't read the book.
You just heard the same excuse from other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said,
right.
I have heard about all these contradictions. I'm going to go find them for you. And I got angry. So it gives you a little flavor for the cynic I was. When I was going through the flight program, I also was in the Navy choir. And this sounds strange, but at the time, you know, we sang all the United States, Kodiak, Fairbanks, Anchorage, Alaska, everywhere. Monroe, Louisiana, Norfolk, Virginia, I mean, everywhere.
Sure.
And every place we went, particularly in the South, they would fix us up with a girl. Not for a sexual favor, but as a companion, sort of a Southern hospitality.
Right.
Every girl I got fixed up with was a Christian, and I was pretty upset about it. And then I dated a chaplain's daughter at Softly Field, a very pretty blonde girl, and took her sailing, and it was a nightmare. And she said that Jesus was the only way to God. And I said, Deanna, there's a million ways to God. There's Hinduism, Buddhism, Shintoism. Come on, don't be so narrow-minded. So she drags me to her home, and they're talking about Jesus and sharing the four spiritual laws. And I'm rolling my eyes like, you're ganging up, and you know, you're butchering. So that's me.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's fast forward to the Philippines.
Okay.
And I come on this retreat. There were probably 30 people there. Mostly, we were all in civilian clothes, so it didn't matter whether you were an officer or an enlisted person.
Right.
And I came to listen, but I thought maybe I'd just sleep in the back. And the man that I met, his name was Jesse Miller. As it turns out, he is the originator of Overseas Christian Servicemen Centers.
Wow.
And he began to talk about the horrific life he had. He was a soldier stationed at Clark Air Force Base when Pearl Harbor occurred. And then 12 hours later, the Japanese were strafing Clark Air Force Base, and he was running for his life.
Mm-hmm.
And he escaped and evaded for 3 months and finally captured by the Japanese only to enter the Bataan Death March. And the Bataan Death March had some 70,000 soldiers, I think 60,000 Philippine folks that lived in the Philippines, soldiers, but then also 10,000 Americans.
Mm-hmm.
When he finally arrived at his POW camp on a march of 75 miles later, there were just a handful left.
Sure.
So he's talking about this carnage. You know, some people say, where is God and why would he allow all this horrible and terrible stuff to happen?
Right.
And that was the question that went through my mind as a person in Vietnam and having seen the carnage I did. Here's a guy who saw it all. And at the end of his talk, he said, I came out of this a prisoner of hope.
Wow.
I thought he was a nutcase. I thought he was a Looney Tune. And I said, either this guy is real or he's a few bubbles off, but whatever he has, if it's real, I want it.
Exactly.
So he was no academic. He was a simple man. But he spoke about his faith in Christ. And for the first time, my heart was grabbed. And then his next friend, Ken Brooks, shared a little story. It was like, he said, picture a Philippine boy going down to the river, and there the boy washes himself clean. He was trying to paint a picture of what it is like to be a Christian, how Christ cleans us, but then we walk a dirty path.
Okay.
The part I got was walking the dirty path. And he gets a little dirt on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God took that picture in my life, and he convicted me of my own filth.
Sure.
And I wasn't just having a little dirt on my feet. I was up to my nose in muck.
Right.
The picture I had is I was going down in quicksand, and I couldn't even breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very simple. I felt God saying, George, are you ready to say yes or no? Yes to my forgiveness or no? And initially, I said, no, I'm not good enough. No, I need to self-flagellate a bit more. I mean, I need to really beat myself up really good so I might qualify. And it's like God said, well, okay, if you want to do that, you're saying no. And it was a battle. It was this internal battle, like, I don't bring anything to the table.
Exactly.
I have nothing.
That is so unusual, because in our minds, it's just rational to think that, you know, God is expecting something from us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to show up with something. I mean, can't I show you my Sunday school attendance awards or something? Don't they count?
I've got these ribbons.
I got the ribbon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I was so convicted and I was so exhausted. I was literally spent physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I had nothing left. And I thought, I don't know other than I'm going to say yes. And in the saying of the yes, it was a simple yes.
Yes.
I didn't raise my hand, didn't go forward. There wasn't an altar call. If there was, I would have, but I didn't even know what that was.
Sure.
I was raised a Lutheran, you know. They don't do that kind of thing in the Lutheran church.
Exactly.
Anyway, an interesting thing also happened that evening. First of all, it was just a relief. But then, and I don't think either Jesse Miller or Ken Brooks knew that I had made that decision. But it was around 10 o'clock at night. I met another guy there. He was a black fellow. And he and I sat down and we confessed our sins one to another.
Wow.
We went at 10 o'clock at night till 4 in the morning. And we went through not to boast, not to say, hey, can you top that one?
Right.
We went through to say, even as a non-believer, I could not believe I would do this. I violated my own code of ethics.
Right, right.
And I did this and I'm not proud of it, but I also realize that God has forgiven me of this.
Mm.
Well, this went on. Time flew for 6 hours.
Sure.
And it was 4 in the morning, and we said, oh, it looks like we better get some sleep because we have to go to Corregidor at 6 a.m. I got up at 5:30, an hour and a half sleep. You'd think you would be just absolutely exhausted. Quite the contrary. I have never experienced peace like that.
Wow.
I guess you would call that the peace that surpasses human comprehension.
You had been set free.
I have been set free. And I think God did that. It isn't necessarily everyone's experience. Everyone has a different experience with God and how he does that. But I think for me, because I was such a pagan, I was so liberal in my thinking.
Yeah.
And I was so, I say pagan in my lifestyle, that that experience validated the reality of Christ that I will never forget it. And I always go back, and that was the turning point. It was a watershed. I, from that point, said, whatever it means, whatever it takes, I do want to follow Christ. I had a deep, deep hunger for the word. I wanted to hang out with Christians. That was different.
For sure.
Yeah. I wanted to grow. I wanted my life, my morality, my dating, everything. I wanted it to be to honor the Lord. Very different than the way it was.
You know, last broadcast, I closed with Psalm 16:9. and says, therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth, my flesh also shall rest in hope. But then Psalm 16:11 goes on, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And when you begin to understand life in Christ, that's exactly what it is, isn't it? In his presence is fullness of joy. And I'm sure you weren't able to hide that from Joe and Ken.
Nope.
You just began to share with them what God had done in your life.
That's right. And I found that on the ship, when I came back to the ship, my big test was, do I tell the fellows I fly with?
Oh, sure.
They're all pagans. I mean, do I run the risk of being labeled a Jesus freak and blackballed?
Mm-hmm.
And I struggled with that. And I finally just started to speak the way I have here today with you.
Right.
And, you know, let the cards fall where they will.
Right.
And my friends leaned forward in great interest. Within 2 days, I led a warrant officer to Christ.
Oh, wow.
That was a surprise.
Didn't really know what was happening.
I didn't know that. I mean, no. It was so much fun, though. I mean, it was a lot of fun to see people grab like that.
But, you know, what you've just described is what the Bible tells us in Romans 10. And it says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And for a while, we're in question as to, ooh, what should I share? You know, what kind of consequences am I going to experience as a result of it? But when something so fantastic has happened in your life, you can't help but begin to let it seep out or pour out or whatever.
That's exactly right. And that ties into a scripture. I don't know if we have a chance to get into it now, but it's Romans 1:16-17. I had an insatiable appetite for the scripture. And whenever I wasn't flying or wasn't eating or sleeping, I was reading the Bible. And I was reading Romans 1:16-17. It's familiar, I'm sure, to most. And if not, it goes like this. It's, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and the Gentile. I didn't get that far because as a new Christian, I got stuck right on the first part.
Sure.
I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In a sense, God speaks to us through his word. And it was as if God said, George, are you ashamed of me?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no. And I'm going to have to continue the story, I'm afraid, for the next broadcast, if you wouldn't mind putting up with me a little more.
We would be glad to.
I'm going to tell that story because this is how God works.
Because this is something that every one of us face, George. Am I going to be ashamed, whether it be with my family circle or where I work or my friends, where I socialize? Am I going to be ashamed? Or am I going to be more concerned about their conditions? Like somebody said, don't be afraid of them, be afraid for them. And so when we reach the point of understanding of what they're facing as well, we stop being afraid of them and we start being afraid for them. And as a result of that, it's like somebody being caught in a fire. We'll do whatever it takes to get them out of that fire. Well, until the next time, I trust the Lord will bless you and just motivate you to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ.